Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the FI Mastery Podcast, where our focus is on providing tools, resources, and insights that empower driven individuals to become the masters of their own financial independence journey. My name is Peter Dorisano, and today we're going to talk about getting back to the basics on stock-based compensation. Now, annual review season is just around the corner, and whether you're just starting out at a tech company or are a seasoned professional, then it's crucial now more than ever to understand the stock awards you have and likely will receive in the months ahead. That's why in this week's episode, we'll cover how to evaluate your award, starting by knowing what to review in your grant, discussing potential tax implications for GSUs, RSUs, and ISOs, and how to manage concentrated risk and protect your family's wealth for the long run. So with that, let's dive into today's podcast. Stock-based compensation can transform your life when it's managed wisely. Indeed, if you're a tech professional, then you likely know how receiving stock awards isn't just a perk. It's your gateway to building generational wealth and securing your family's financial future for decades to come. With that said, however, too many well-intentioned individuals choose to use their grants and give them a cursory look when they're hired or following their annual review and then doing nothing with them. And so what happens? Well, from missed opportunities to surprise tax bills and the potential for a complete loss of wealth, many individuals find themselves set up for a complete disappointment down the road. Now, if you're a recipient of stock-based compensation, then there's no doubt that you're grateful for your awards. With that said, however, it's crucial now more than ever to move beyond just appreciating what you have to taking action so you can protect your potential windfall. Indeed, without a proactive approach, you might just find yourself unprepared for the tax implications, dealing with the uncertainty about managing vested awards, or exposing yourself to unnecessary risks given your concentrated stock positions. Nevertheless, by understanding how to navigate your stock grants, knowing what to watch for when it comes to your taxes, and mitigating risks through prudent financial planning, you can confidently use your wealth not just to support your lifestyle now, but to lay the foundation for a legacy that spans generations to come. All right, so you know you have equity awards, but you've never bothered to look into them. Now what? Well, if you just started receiving stock compensation as part of your pay package, you might just have only one grant to consider. But now, if you've been in your career for a while, then you likely have numerous grants to deal with, and so you're likely feeling a little overwhelmed and not sure where to start. Well, let's keep this simple and start by just getting familiar with what you own. Indeed, one of the first things you should do to make the most out of your equity compensation in the years ahead is to just take some time to review your existing and refresher grants. Now, having this bird's eye view of what you own and what's likely to vest in the year ahead will give you an idea of what you should focus on as you consider your awards. So then you can start your review process by logging into your company's platform for managing your equity comp. And this could be Morgan Stanley at Work or ShareWorks or Carta. And the app is typically available through your employer's benefits portal. Now, the beauty of these tools is that they offer a one-stop shop for managing and tracking your stock holdings. And these platforms offer a streamlined and user-friendly interface to view the value of your GSUs and your RSUs and allow you to exercise your stock options or sell your vested restricted stock when the time is right and help you understand some of the tax implications all in one place. Now, if you're not sure which app your company uses, you can simply reach out to your manager or to your HR team and they'll point you in the right direction. Either way, once you're logged in, look for the section where your equity grants are listed, and this should include all the grants awarded to you, such as your stock options, your RSUs, or other forms of equity compensation. Now, here what you'll want to do is take some time to get familiar with what you have, and while you're at it, evaluate whether you're holding onto stock options or restricted stock, or even if you have a combination of both. Now, why is this information important? Well, simply put, having this information on hand will enable you to make better choices with your awards down the road. Now, as you review your grants, what you'll want to do is pay close attention to your vesting schedule. And why start with your vesting schedule? Well, while it may be tempting to look at your total award amount and begin making plans for the money that's due to come to you in the year ahead, the truth is that your award, whether we're talking about GSUs or RSUs or stock options, are generally made available to you over a set period of time, which is typically a four-year vest with a one-year cliff. Now, this vesting period can vary from one company to the next. For example, Google and Facebook have four-year vesting schedules, while Microsoft has either a four or five-year vesting schedule depending on whether you are an existing or a new employee. That's why it's crucial to pay attention to what you got right from the start. Now, this vesting information is also important for a couple of other reasons, so listen up. Now, first, when it comes to a cliff vest, knowing that you'll receive only a portion of your award this year can help you set better expectations for available cash in the year ahead. Indeed, as mentioned earlier, many grants are offered with four-year vests and a one-year cliff. So then what this cliff part means is that you have to stay with your employer for at least 1 year from the grant date if you started less than a year ago before you'll receive any of your vested awards. So pay careful attention here if you plan a career move in the months ahead. Now, if you've been at your company for longer than a couple of years, then another Another thing to consider as you're reviewing your grants is that you'll likely have to juggle multiple vesting schedules over the course of the year. Now, while it may be tempting to just let yourself become overwhelmed with all this information and just throw your hands up in the air, it's crucial to remember that your primary focus here should be to understand the timing of your vesting schedule, if nothing else. Here again, it's vital to understand what the cliff looks like for your new grant and your stock refresher, and whether your equity will vest on a monthly or quarterly basis in the year ahead. The next thing that you'll want to consider as you're reviewing your grant is to evaluate the current and expected market value of your employer's stock relative to your vesting schedule, so you can determine whether there are any actions that you need to take in the coming months. For example, if you're holding onto stock options and your company's value is expected to rise, then you may want to consider exercising your options sooner rather than later to lower your AMT risks and to start the clock on long-term capital gains. And if you're holding onto restricted stock and market volatility is picking up around the time that your grants are about to vest and you need some cash, then selling stock as it vests may also be a worthwhile consideration for you as you're reviewing this process. Finally, if you're planning on changing jobs this year, reviewing your grants will help you understand what you owe and what your options are for dealing with your grants after you decide to leave your current employer. Either way, the key takeaway here is to start understanding what you've got. Doing so will help you get ahead of any surprises and help you better prepare to take necessary actions like exercising your stock options or evaluating whether you should sell or hold your vested company stock if we're talking about RSUs or GSUs. All right, so now that you have a basic understanding of what to look for as you evaluate your stock award, let's talk about everybody's favorite topic, and that's taxes. Now, as you start to evaluate your equity grants at the beginning of the year, it's crucial to focus on several key tax-related areas to ensure you're making well-informed decisions as you get ready to pull the trigger. Now, the first thing you'll want to do is to know what you own. Now, you'll typically nail down this point as you initially review your grants. Even so, understanding the type of equity you have, whether it's stock options or RSUs, often determines how you're taxed. And so getting a hold of the kind of award that you have is essential here. Now, if you have stock options, especially ISOs, then exercise timing likely will play a crucial role when it comes to taxes. How so? Well, when it comes to exercising ISOs, you have either a qualifying or disqualifying disposition to consider. And what exactly do these terms mean? Well, in terms of a qualifying disposition, you're likely looking at a potential tax benefit if you hold the shares for a specific period of time, but this also involves the risk of triggering the alternative minimum tax, or AMT. Now, a disqualifying disposition, on the other hand, typically happens when you exercise and sell your options, meaning you likely avoid AMT, but now you're paying taxes at ordinary income tax rates. So far, so good, right? Well, now let's stop and talk about AMT for just a second, because some individuals get nervous when they hear about it and do one of two things. First, they search the internet for ways to avoid it, or two, their eyes gloss over and they simply ignore their grant, hoping that it all works out on its own, and so they choose to blindly pull the trigger when it's time to exercise. Now, don't be this person. You know, when it comes down to it, AMT isn't going to eat you alive, at least not entirely. In fact, what you should know about AMT is that it's a parallel tax system designed to ensure that individuals who benefit from certain tax advantages pay at least a minimum amount of tax. In other words, Uncle Sam wants to ensure that if you're making a lot of money, you're not just using deductions and other tax loopholes to avoid paying taxes altogether. And so when you exercise ISOs and don't sell the shares in the same year, the difference between the exercise price and the fair market value at the time of exercise is considered a preference item for AMT purposes. Now, this means that it could increase your tax liability, potentially leading to a higher tax bill. So then to effectively plan for AMT, you should calculate your potential AMT liability before exercising ISOs and carefully consider the timing of your ISO exercise and sale in the year ahead. This could include exercising earlier in the year, giving you more visibility into the potential AMT impact and allowing you to make adjustments later on if needed. You could also consider exercising ISOs in smaller amounts over several years to help you manage that AMT exposure. Now, when it comes to taxation of GSUs and RSUs, the story here is a little simpler, but still nuanced nonetheless. Indeed, there's often a misconception that GSUs and RSUs are double taxed, which can be sometimes misleading. So let's clarify how taxation works here and why your vesting schedule is so important to watch. Now, first things first, when it comes to your taxes on GSUs and RSUs, you're taxed on your restricted stock when it vests, not when you receive your award. That is, when the RSUs vest, the value of the shares at that point is considered taxable income. And this gain is often taxed at ordinary income tax rates, just like your salary. Now, this is what would be considered as the first tax event. Here again, you don't get taxed on the full amount of the grant when it's awarded to you. In fact, you typically get taxed on your awards as they vest throughout the course of the year. And this is another reason why you should understand your vesting schedule before you do anything else. And so how much tax exactly will you pay? Well, the amount of income recognized is equal to the market value of the shares at the vesting date, not at the grant date. In other words, you don't pay taxes when the award is given to you, but here you get paid taxes when you actually have that award vest for you. Now, when it comes to paying these taxes, your employer will typically handle the tax by withholding a portion of the vested shares. Now, it's crucial to note here that in many cases, the default withholding amount is often too low. So what you'll need to do is either go in and change the withholding amount or set aside some extra cash to pay that tax as your awards vest. Now, if you decide to sell your shares immediately as a vest, then you likely won't have any other taxes to deal with once it's all said and done. In other words, you're only taxed once. With that said, however, the second taxable event here happens when you decide to hold on to those vested shares and sell them at some point in time in the future. Now, in this case, you're dealing with capital gains tax if the shares have increased in values from the vesting date. More specifically, that capital gains is calculated from the vesting date and not from the grant date, so be careful here about the information that you're consuming. That's why if you sell your shares right after they vest, then the capital gains tax is often minimal since there's little or no capital gains to report. Even so, if you hold on to your vested shares and they appreciate in value, then you're likely looking at a capital gains tax when you go to sell that stock later on down the road. So then here again, you're taxed at ordinary income as it vests, and then you pay capital gains tax if you hold on to your vested stock and it later appreciates down the road. At the same time, knowing your vesting dates ahead of time allows you to plan for taxes more strategically. For example, if you know that you've got a large number of GSUs vesting this year, then you might adjust some of your other financial decisions like managing gains recognition or charitable giving so you can better manage your overall tax liability more effectively. At the same time, your strategy for selling the vested shares you own can significantly impact your capital gains tax. That's because holding on to the shares for more than a year after they vest could qualify any gains for the lower long-term capital gains tax rate. So then while GSUs and RSUs are not exactly double taxed in the traditional sense, they do involve two distinct tax considerations, and that's the income tax at the point of vesting and capital gains at the point of selling those shares after they vest. All right, so we've talked about what to consider as you evaluate your grants, including knowing what you own, evaluating your vesting schedule, and understanding the potential tax implications that you need to keep in mind. But so what do you do after your awards vest? In other words, how do you turn this seeming windfall into a strategic power player in your overall financial plan? Well, the truth is that for many of you out there, there's often a temptation to just let it ride when it comes to company stock that you own. And while this default do nothing approach may seem appealing at first, you could be setting yourself over disappointment if you're not staying on top of the opportunities and more crucially, avoiding the threats to your wealth like concentration risk. And what is concentration risk? Well, concentration risk means that you're potentially putting yourself into a financially vulnerable position when a large portion of your wealth is tied up in the equity of a single company like your employer's stock. And so why is this important? Well, when you're not actively engaging and staying informed about your equity grants, you may inadvertently find yourself in a position where your financial well-being is heavily dependent on the performance of your company's stock. Now, this can be a risky position to be in because your financial fate is often tied to the fortunes of just one company. So then if your employer faces a sudden surprise like a lawsuit or changes in legislation or market volatility, then your personal net worth could take a financial hit along with these adverse situations. Now, at the same time, the danger here is twofold. That's because your job security is often linked to the company's performance, and more often than not, so is your investment. And so if your employer encounters difficulties of different stripes, not only is your job potentially on the line, but your investments in the company and your net worth could be on the hook as well. And so this dual exposure can have more profound effect on your income, your net worth, and your investments, really when it comes down to it. At the same time, you might miss opportunities to diversify your investment by not actively managing your grants if you're not paying attention. Now, we've often talked about how diversification is a key principle to sound financial planning and investment risk management. That's because it involves spreading your investments across various asset classes or sectors to reduce the chances of potential financial loss. So then if a significant portion of your wealth is held up in vested stock that you haven't gotten around to dealing with, then you might be setting yourself for a disappointment should one black swan event or unexpected event come along and knock down your company's share price. That's why, here again, as you look at your grants, consider how they fit into the broader context of your investment portfolio. More specifically, you'll want to consider your holdings and evaluate whether you're dealing with any imbalances by heavily concentrating your wealth in one position or one sector. Now, if that's the case, then now might be the time to think about strategies like selling a portion of your vested shares and investing the proceeds in a diversified basket of assets. This approach not only helps mitigate risks, it also potentially enhances the growth of your investments through opportunities in different sectors and geographic regions of the markets. The point here is that while stock awards can be a lucrative part of your compensation, they should be managed as part of a broader, diversified investment strategy to minimize risks and maximize potential gains. When it comes down to it, it's not about how much you make, but how much you keep, right? Indeed, that's why as your shares vest, think about selling portions of them at regular intervals, and then use the proceeds from these sales to purchase other investments that align with your financial goals, whether that's buying a home, saving for retirement, or investing in a diversified portfolio of stocks, bonds, and other assets. You know, when it comes down to it, your stock compensation is not just a significant part of your income, it's also a reflection of your hard work, and it's a crucial means for quickly achieving financial independence maintenance and building generational wealth. Even so, this opportunity often comes with the responsibility of proactively managing a vital component of your current and future net worth. That's why when you familiarize yourself with your grants, understand the nuanced tax implications, and turn concentration risks into strategic financial plays, then each step acts as a building block towards securing your financial future and lays the groundwork for wealth that lasts beyond your lifetime. Indeed, by avoiding the common pitfalls of ignoring your grants, being caught off guard by taxes, or failing to diversify as your stocks vest, then you're not just positioning yourself to make smart, informed decisions that align with your life priorities, you're taking one step closer to becoming the master of your own financial independence journey. Well, that's it for now. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the FI Mastery podcast. To learn more about today's topic, you can visit the episodes page at FIMastery.com. And if you can find one person in your life who would find today's message helpful in getting their financial house in order, please share this episode with them. But until next time, I'm Peter Donisanu, wishing you and yours abundant health and prosperity.
The FI Mastery podcast is brought to you by Franklin Madison Advisors, Inc. Franklin Madison Advisors is a registered investment advisor firm with its registration and principal place of business in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Registration of an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training. This commentary and forecast are limited to the dissemination of general information pertaining to Franklin Madison Advisors investment advisory services and general economic and market conditions and are subject to change without notice. The information shared today is not intended to be personal, legal, investment, or tax advice, or a solicitation to buy or sell any security or engage in a particular investment strategy. For additional information about Franklin Madison Advisors, including fees and services, please contact Franklin Madison Advisors or refer to the investment advisor public disclosures.